Welcome to What's Your Point, the podcast that gets inside the heads of business people, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders in South Down. This podcast is sponsored by Navigator Financial Planning, the financial planners of choice for Northern Ireland business. Here's your host, David Crozier.
In this episode, Wayne Denner talks about setting up the first ever online social network in Ireland and how his early experiences in making money as a youngster encouraged him to be an entrepreneur despite an indifferent academic start. In the middle of the COVID-19 crisis, he shares with us his thoughts on the importance of having personal and business resilience. I'm really looking forward to chatting to Wayne Denner. So Wayne, what exactly do you do?
It's an interesting question, David, and a question that I get asked on a regular basis. I kind of do a lot of different things. Most notably, what I'm known for is setting up one of the first social networking websites in Ireland. Back in the late 90s, I left St. Mark's High School in Mourne Point, and I went to Newry College of Further Education, as it was called back then, to study a BTEC National Diploma in Media Studies. Around that time, the internet was starting to become a thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it is today. We didn't have YouTube and we didn't have podcasts and we didn't have Twitter or Facebook or Snapchat. But more and more people were starting to explore the World Wide Web. And I thought it would be a great idea to build a website where we could post pictures of our nights out.
Okay.
So I teamed up with another like-minded individual, and what we did was we built a very basic website, which became a scrapbook of our lives, which then subsequently turned into a business called outlastnight.com. And over a three-year period, we built it to a user base of 83,000 registered users. So that was kind of where it started.
Wow. You've kind of explained how you got into that, but tell me a bit about your journey from that to now. So what exactly do you do for people today?
So what I do for people today is I deliver a lot of education in schools and colleges right across the UK and Ireland and indeed further afield, where I deliver a workshop called Get Smart Online. And what Get Smart is online is it's a workshop which gets young people to think about how to use the internet and social media positively and responsibly. So that's a piece of work that's been going on now for a number of years, and it's been developing as the internet and technology have developed, where it's more focusing on the practical elements of how you can stay safe online, but also how you can build your online reputation to potentially open up some future career opportunities for you whenever you leave school or university. Most of this was born out of my book that I wrote in 2015 called The Student's Guide to an Epic Online Reputation. And again, that's all about using the internet and social media positively and responsibly. That also enables me now to work with parents, to work with social workers, with different organizations, and the impact that we've seen as a result of technology now impacting so many different aspects of our life, most notably mental health and well-being. So there is a piece of work now that I'm doing around that, where we use social media to, of course, enhance our life opportunities, but also we're aware of some of the impacts of it.
Is that book still available to buy?
Yeah, so that book's available through Amazon. There was an initial sort of print run of that that came out in 2015. We're in the process now of creating a second edition of the book, which also sort of brings it up to 2020 and looks at sort of where the internet now has now evolved to and some of the issues and the risks, mostly in and around cybercrime and cybersecurity, which is such a big aspect at the moment.
Yeah, I was going to say, because this thing is the internet and the various iterations of it is so fast moving that something that was written 10 years ago got to be out of date fairly quickly, you would think.
You would, yeah. And then there is that aspect of it where there is certain parts of the book which maybe are no longer relevant today or potentially fit for purpose. Some of the examples that we talked about within the book were very relevant back then. Of course, things move on, and that's why we're bringing that second edition of the book out, which will focus a lot more on the cybercrime and privacy elements, which is something that many people don't think about whenever they think about, you know, posting and sharing things online. Have I impacted my privacy? And have I put too much personal information there, and how do I start to take control of that now? So we're going to talk a lot about those things in the book.
So you have a lot of different people and types of people that could interact with you and could use you. So from individuals, you know, be they students or or not. But also presumably companies and government and educational bodies that would have a use for what you do.
Yeah, I create a lot of content which a lot of people consume, right, whether it's a podcast or it's, you know, video content and then pushing out through my website or Facebook, and all of that content is very much designed to educate people.
Yeah.
There has been a big vacuum and gap in the market over the past couple of years where the internet, as you rightly alluded to at the start of this piece, moves very quickly. Mm-hmm. And the challenge for everybody, and me included, is we must adapt.
Yes.
You know, we must be producing new content and new information. Otherwise, we run the risk that we become out of date.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always sort of looked at that in terms of pivoting my business, but also pivoting my content to make sure that I'm adapting to what's happening in the landscape, mm-hmm, and making sure that whatever content I push out on whatever platform, it's as current and as relevant as it is today.
Right.
That in itself increases my visibility, and my mantra is visibility creates opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Sure. You've kind of again answered this to a point, but how do you see the future for what you do?
It's timely that we're having this discussion in relation to the COVID-19 coronavirus, which is gripping the world at the moment. There's no doubt, if me putting on my business hat today as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, and not just involved in one business, you know, a couple of different businesses. I mean, many people don't know that I sell bird seed as well, you know, and that's another sort of small business that I'm involved in with another person. And it's imperative that people pivot.
Yeah.
It's imperative that people look for other ways. Yes, some businesses are going to struggle and some businesses are going to go to the wall. That's inevitable. But I think a lot of that can be prevented if people look at ways that they can use technology to continue to provide a high level of service, whether that's remote working or whether that's making your content available remotely through a platform like Cobabble, which we've been working on for the past 18 months, so that, you know, business can still continue. Yes, I may not be able to deliver those physical school workshops over the next 2 to 3 months, but people can still access my content through the platform.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's interesting that you've answered that in a short term way, and I think that's really, really key. That a big part of what we do is making sure if they listen to us, that our clients, whether as individuals or businesses, have that resilience built in, whether they've got a fallback position, so that they're the things that are most important to them are not impacted by very, very short term things. So I think that's really, really interesting. Why Warm Point? Why are you based here?
I've grew up here. I've always sort of, you know, been entrepreneurial ever since I was very young. A lot of my very early revenue came from washing cars up the Well Road in Warm Point and selling holly at Christmas and cleaning windows. And till I became 15, I launched a mobile disco roadshow with a friend of mine whose dad was on the board of the credit union in Warm Point, and he lent us some money to get that up and running. He lent us his own money, not out of any other source. But I always found support in Warm Point.
Yeah.
I always found there was like-minded people and characters about the place, and again, people were very good to me whenever I started up. You know, it's very difficult to start a business, but people helped me along the way, and a lot of those people are in Warm Point and still in Warm Point today. And again, you know, moving into the office here at Navigator, you know, that's somebody else that's sort of helping me sort of continue to build my business in Warm Point and hopefully then grow it from here on out.
Yeah, it's also a great place to live. I mean, you were having a conversation on social media with my good friend John Hill last week, and you're talking about just the ability to walk out and walk around the front shore and see a vista that people would give their right arms to be able to walk out in their office and be in.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm really passionate about that in the sense that I think we need more technology startups in Warm Point. I think we need more businesses. Yes, Warm Point's known for, you know, great little coffee shops and, you know, there's some class wee retail outlets. We're looking out the window right now. There's a new business started up in the past couple of months called Wee Bookworms. You know, again, that didn't exist 4 or 5 months ago. And it's great to see those businesses coming back onto the main street. And I think that's very important. The bricks and mortar businesses are very important. Yes, you know, technology and internet now is allowing people to, you know, work from home and create businesses online. But I would love to see Warm Point. If my vision was to be, well, you know, what could Warm Point be? I think there's a huge potential, especially given things that we're seeing happen happening around the world with environmental impacts, mm-hmm. and you know, we're really going to have to start to look at our economic footprint and our environmental footprint. I think the tech sector mm-hmm. presents a huge opportunity, and I think if there are tech companies in Silicon Valley looking at Warm Point, I think they would be hugely impressed with it and be looking. You know, again, there's a lot happens in the tech scene in Dublin and in Belfast. I think more could be happening in Warm Point. The problem I suppose we have is the sort of problem I had is we're quite restricted in terms of our capacity for, you know, space. Business space. Yeah. I think that's a big challenge. And we have certain properties around the town that are lying derelict that could be utilised a little bit more. And I think that's something that our local council should get on board with and start to explore. Because I think if we need to attract those businesses in from other parts of the world, we need to have the premises available for them.
Yeah, we do. And speaking from our own personal experience, we really did struggle to get a suitable premises that we wanted to. We wanted to work in the town. We didn't want to work in an out of town industrial park. We're a professional business. We wanted to be people to be able to walk off the street and come in. So I think I agree. I agree with everything you say. You know, we've got half decent broadband. Parking is a problem. But then if we're talking about tech businesses, parking shouldn't be an issue.
No, not at all. And I think we can overcome a lot of those obstacles. I think, you know, we're going to see, you know, we're going to have to be innovative and we're going to look at that. And I think, again, you know yourself, getting into Newry for meetings is difficult at the best of times. Yeah. Going to Belfast, trying to get parked, even going to Dublin, it's not easy. No. I mean, you know, it's difficult. And I think there's so many opportunities for those smaller locations around the country to be really sort of developing their own presence as attracting that inward investment for startups.
Yes, and you touched on something there that I feel really strongly about, and that is the impact that we all have, whether in what we physically do or in how we invest money. And I think it'll be really interesting to see what this COVID-19 does to people's working patterns and whether those changes become permanent, whether people work out, actually, this works perfectly well. I don't need to go and see somebody face to face. I'm quite happy to do that. And that, if that can be turned from a temporary reaction to a difficult situation into a permanent situation that everybody realises is good for the planet, that I think that would be a fantastic outcome.
I think so.
That's absolute lemonade from lemons, that.
Yeah, I think that's a smart outlook on the process, and I think that will happen. I think more people will realise, look, we can do things more efficiently. We can use technology better. And I think as well, one of the things that I'm looking at as well is not to say that the Cobabbles of this world or the technology solutions replaces the face-to-face. It should never do that.
Yeah.
I think that's very important that we continue to have that. What we do is we blend it more.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, you know, we will see that happening.
Exactly. I think that's true, and a couple of our other guests have alluded to that in previous episodes. One semi-philosophical question that I want to finish off with, Wayne. You know, you've got two young boys, and they're starting to get to a stage in their lives where decisions are going to have to be made in a few years. If you could teach yourself, your 18-year-old self, something, what would it be?
That's an interesting question for somebody like me, because I didn't go through, I failed my GCSEs, really struggled from about 16 to about 18 to really figure out what it is I wanted to do. Most of my peers at that time were becoming joiners and bricklayers and electricians and mechanics, and that was what the local school encouraged you to do. Very few people at that point went on to university unless you were at the grammar schools.
Yeah.
So I really found it very difficult. My saving grace was technology because I got fascinated about the internet and I immersed myself in that world. And back then it was dial-up internet.
Yes.
And you know, we're talking about, we've got decent speed internet here. Back then it was that horrible sound that people used to hear to connect to the internet. But I absolutely became fascinated with AOL and the fact that you could go online and you could send an email to somebody, or you could search for people to email. That just blew my mind. And I got so interested in that space that, you know, over the 20 years that I've been involved in it, I've always been able to evolve. A big thing for me was, you know, trying to figure out a way that I could get paid for that sort of stuff. because back then a lot of people weren't investing in websites, but I was creating websites in 1999, early 2000, you know, basic HTML websites. And then over a period of time, people started to want websites and I started to get a little bit of work out of that. But I did go down that route initially of trying to become a mechanic, which I failed miserably at. I tried to become a painter and decorator. I failed miserably at that again. And it was only when I came in contact with a very interesting character who you see about this town still to this day, a guy called Rowan Hand, who used to work for the BBC. And Rowan Hand gave me an opportunity in 1998 with no GCSEs to get on his BTEC National Diploma in Media Studies.
Right.
He kind of tucked me under his wing.
Right.
And he says, look, you have to do this. Do not let me down. You need to repeat these GCSEs and you need to pass them. Or my reputation's on the line. He gave me an opportunity. He threw me a lifeline and everything sort of changed from there on in. Now, I did go back down the traditional path. I went to university in 2003 and I studied a degree in business and tourism in the University of Northumbria. I came out of that and then I went back to university in 2015 and studied a master's in communications and training and development in Queen's University. So although I am at this point that I do have those formal qualifications, I didn't have them at the start.
Yeah.
So my message to my kids would be, look, things will happen along the way. There will be blips in the road. You may not get that qualification that you wanted, or you may not, you know, get that result that you wanted, but that does not mean that you're not going to end up where you need to be.
Doesn't define you.
Not at all. You know, I'm a big fan of practical skills, being able to practically do stuff.
Yeah.
That's, to me and my business, more valuable than any qualification. Yeah. We can learn all the rest, but if you can practically demonstrate that you're a good communicator, you've got a good attitude, you've got a good work ethic, you're trustworthy, those things are so important in my business and a lot of businesses. And I can help you then get those qualifications that you need to have under your belt.
Attitude, work ethic, trustworthy. I think that's an amazing place to end.
That's
been an absolute pleasure, Wayne. Thanks very much.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed today's great episode with Wayne Denner. If you would like to know more about any of our guests, please have a look at the podcast section of the Navigator website, navigatorfp.com. If you would like to be a guest on What's Your Point, drop me an email, david@navigatorfp.com. Do remember to subscribe and we look forward to chatting with you on the next episode.
What's Your Point is sponsored by Navigator Financial Planning. You can find them at NavigatorFP.com, on Twitter at NavigatorFP and Facebook Navigator Financial Planning. Please subscribe to get future episodes and stay up to date with what's happening in business in South Down. Enjoy the rest of your day. Navigator Financial Planning is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.